Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. We are starting out the second hour, as we're doing every week now, with Kitco. Niels Christensen is going to be a regular on our weekend special in terms of the radio. We have switched over to Alex Letourneau. Alex is basically the mining guy for Kitco in terms of getting all the news in terms of the mining industry. I've been working with Alex as he has been posting our material for quite some time now. Daniela Camboni, who is a graduate of the same university, Concordia, that Alex is a graduate of, basically suggested that he would be a pretty good guy to handle kind of macro issues on a weekly basis that Kitco brings up. Alex, right now Kitco is dealing with its outlook based on their, you know, your opinions and other folks' opinions and opinions from outside contributors as to what 2014 is going to look like in the mining industry. We'd like to chat with you about that right now for a little bit. You got the mic, buddy? Take it away.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. So, we're doing an Outlook series right now. Booted it up last week. Basically, what it is just interviewing a series of experts, be it video or articles, and we've been posting it to our website, kitco.com, of course. I have my focus recently on cost reductions for gold miners and what that's going to look like in 2014. Basically, it's going to continue. Also, it focuses on exploration cuts, which are going to be problematic, maybe not right now, kind of patchwork cost reductions for mining companies, but this is going to be an issue going down the line if new exploration, new discoveries aren't made.
Yeah, Alex, you brought up a couple of good points there. It's a trend that we've seen in the mining industry, those being reducing costs and really mining higher grade so that it brings down your cash per ounce cost. But what have some of the experts that you've been talking to, what have they been predicting for, let's start off by saying the start of 2014?
Well, it's looking like it's darkest before the light type deal. They're not seeing very much positivity to kick off the year, but that should pick up midway through 2014. Basically, what's happening now is it's crunch time for mine plans, and that's mining seniors, mid-tiers, and juniors. So everyone's really trying to get their ducks in a row, trying to see where they can effectively cut costs. The issue for some people at the beginning is the type of cuts they've been doing, which is, corporate cuts, layoffs, that sort of thing, and they've been cutting their exploration program. So they're not necessarily cutting anything from their mines. Their mines are still producing at the same costs that they were. The operating costs and their actual mines aren't changing, which is where this period right now is really critical for these companies. They need to figure out how to get that lower from a mining gold, silver, whatever it may be perspective.
You know, I got to tell you, people are talking about mining costs, escalating, everything involved with the junior mining industry and the senior mining industry. I really wonder, however, if that situation is not going to resolve itself just because of simple economic principles. I mean, the demand for gold is not going to go away. Okay. If anything else, gold is going to get more expensive, but because the demand is simply not going to go away. The Indians and the Chinese have certainly proven that, and it looks like the Western world is starting to to fall in line in that area. Do you agree with me, Alex?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that point you bring up about India and China is critical, because we are in the Western part of the world. I don't think we fully understand the cultural need and the cultural necessity for gold and silver to an extent out in China and India. These guys, this is ingrained in their culture. It's a measure of wealth and affluence for them. So, like you said, I don't think demand is going to dwindle at all there, and I totally agree. I think it's going to catch on more and more in North America.
Alex, you said something before that I've been focusing on recently, and that is the majors are cutting their expenses in terms of exploration. So that means they're not developing their properties as much, and they're not finding new properties. So the question I have for you, and I wonder if you asked some of the experts this, is does this make some of the juniors more valuable, or are people looking at the juniors in a more bullish sense because they know that these majors need this pipeline of properties, and you know what, they're not developing their own?
Yeah, that's kind of tricky there, because the junior market is just, that's a different beast in its own. But yeah, right now the seniors, they don't really have the means to acquire anything, I don't think. I mean, there's no trust from a shareholder perspective. If, you know, a Barrick or a Goldcorp or a Kinross went out and bought someone, I don't think it would reflect very well on their share price. That being said, with the juniors, there's just so many of them, and so many are in a lot of trouble. I actually had a great conversation earlier today for a piece I'll be putting out next week with John Kaiser, and you know, right now he referred to them as 500 junior zombies that are just, you know, puttering along, nothing's really coming of them. So I think what you're going to see is probably a lot of action from the mid-tiers. The mid-tiers are going to look towards the good junior projects and, you know, maybe start picking a few that that they deem, you know, a valuable asset to move forward. What's good there is that a lot of the exploration work for the good projects is most likely already completed. And what John alluded to is that it cuts out that, you know, that waiting period where you're doing your own exploration, your own development and all that. And you're basically just spending the same amount of money you would on exploration minus the time spent on exploration. So I think a lot of the mid-tiers are going to jump in. You've seen some pretty good movements from Alamos made a great piece of business with Orsa, and the other one is just slipping my mind, Esperanza. Great business done this year. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. You have IAMGOLD recently, even though it's not reflected in the share price, but they picked up a pretty solid exploration project in here where I'm from in Quebec called Tomagold at Monster Lake. So I think there's going to be an uptick in 2014 in M&A. There has to be. I don't think there's been enough of it yet. But, no, you're absolutely right. Junior miners, the good ones, the ones with reasonable projects, will definitely get some phone calls at the very least.
You know, Alex, I got to tell you in closing here that I agree with you 100%. We're getting more and more commentary on our blog, which is, you know, we have a substantial blog, we've had 1.5 to 2 million people over the last year come to that, which is, you know, in my, not a big number for you guys, but I got to tell you, that's a big number in my book. But having said that, more and more of our listeners are really believe, you know, and maybe it's wishful thinking, but I don't think so, but they're hoping and believing that the mining industry is probably going to take an upward turn vis-a-vis the juniors in 2014. I have to agree with that 100% because, you know, as colleagues like the folks at Sprott, specifically Rick Rule, John Embry, and most of the guests on our show are saying, you know, the prices that we're looking at in terms of these juniors is just absolutely ridiculous. You know, it's interesting. You talked about Orsa Ventures. Linda Thorstad's a really good friend of our families, and Orsa at one time was a sponsor on our site. And Orsa Ventures was an example of how people can really, even in hard times, make money in the resource industry. I mean, the stock fell to about a nickel, if I'm not mistaken. And Alamos, who we have done work for in the past from an SEC reporting standpoint, Alamos came in and, as I recall, gave them 8 or 9 cents a share. So those folks who purchased stock, say, at 4 cents or 5 cents when it was really on the ropes, I think did really, really well. Alex, I got to tell you, you're a very knowledgeable guy. Corey and I have all the time in the world for Kitco. We highly respect your site. We use it every single day in terms of input for our program. We consider it a privilege that you're going to be with us every week to begin the second hour of our show. Listen, my friend, we hope you have a great weekend, and we're looking forward to chatting with you again next week.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, it's always nice to have that input from Kitco. I have a lot of time for Kitco when it comes to precious metals related issues, and it's a real pleasure to have Alex Letourneau become a regular guest on our program. Okay, I got the Three Musketeers with us right now. Corey and I are chatting with Richard Postma, Gary Savage, Rick Ackerman. By the way, Rick, you were saying off mic, you feel that the greatest product out there, really, you believe the greatest software product out there is Microsoft, huh?
Absolutely. They're geniuses. They are absolute geniuses.
Don't bite your tongue, bud. Hey, you know, we had a very interesting conversation with Gary Savage earlier in the week, and we alluded to the fact that we would be kind of continuing this discussion with you guys here on the weekend show. And so we're going to just kind of lead into what's going on right now. Basically, the real subject is the feasibility here of quantitative easing. Before we get into that, though, as we're recording right now, gold is at 1235, so it really hasn't gotten beaten down this week, I would have to say. I'm looking at gold right now and the futures being up. It's at 1235.20 specifically on Bloomberg, and that's up 0.84%. Dow Jones Industrial Average, hey, it's just not doing very much. It's up 0.24%, 1576.52. The S&P is up 2 points. Nobody is really doing much of anything right now. Let's start out and let's discuss a little bit about the effects that the markets of late will have on, are we going to do QE or are we not going to do QE? Doc, let's start with you, bud.
We're not going to do QE, I don't think, in the next week when the Fed meets. They'll talk about it again. And with Yellen coming on board, why do it now? And also before Christmas, I don't think they'll do it, but they'll talk it. But they have some problems here now because, as I mentioned to you before, Al, the producer price index came out, and it was negative for the third straight month. You have the issue of money velocity continuing to drop, and then you have the percentage of growth of the money supply year over year dropping now. Both all three, M1, M2, and M3 are on a percentage basis slowly declining in growth. So you have those heading towards zero. So they're going to have a problem even in the first of the year deciding what to do.
Doc, you're right. The market is still struggling in a few factors, but we do keep on hearing about the better-than-expected jobs number that came out earlier in the week, and we do continue to hear this chatter on tapering. I don't think it'll happen next week during the announcement. Gary, what do you think?
Yeah, I doubt that they're going to taper. I don't think Bernanke's going to want to rock the boat before he turns it over to Yellen, and I don't think they're going to taper into the Christmas shopping season. A quick word on velocity of money, though. I personally don't pay much attention to it. Velocity's been dropping pretty steeply since 98. In that time, we've had a tech bubble, a real estate bubble, a commodities bubble, spike in silver. And now we've got another bubble in the stock market. So I don't really know that the velocity of money really has any bearing on anything.
I would maintain personally that quantitative easing at this moment in time is virtually impossible, and we're going to give some very specific reasons for that in the next segment. But let's continue on, Rick, with your opinion. I mean, we talk about this every day with you, and I think you're in our camp 100%. No way, Jose.
Yeah, I've been saying tapering is as likely as a Martian invasion. I've had some good posts on my own site that have brought me around a little bit. The idea that there'll be something, it's an opportune time for the Fed to at least pretend that it's changing policy, because we've got the stock market trading near all-time highs, we've got these fabulous jobless numbers and all that, 200,000 plus jobs created. So even though none of us really believes that anything is happening in the real economy, that it's still very much the Great Recession, the managing of expectations part of it has been made easier for the Fed by these really hugely spun numbers. So it would be a good time for a policy change. I just don't think that whatever happens is going to change anything for real, because if administered rates, if interest rates were subject to any kind of market forces and pushed, let's say, mortgage rates up any more than they are, it would absolutely kill the housing market. The refi market is completely dead, and we really can't afford anything that is real tightening. So if they take away in the way of tapering, there'll be something substituted that is in inflationary, or at least perceived as such.
Rick, I couldn't agree with you more on that fact, and something that I've been thinking that could happen is that if the Fed does go ahead with a form of tapering, whether it's 5, 10, 15 billion off of what they're doing right now, it's just going to be shift into some other program, because the fact of the matter is they cannot let rates run out of control, and they need to keep everything still in check, whether it's injecting money or not. However, this talk of tapering and the FOMC minutes coming out next week has really handcuffed the markets, in my opinion. The last part of the week, the markets were fairly flat, and they just look timid to me. Doc, what do you see coming out of the start of this week before the FOMC minutes?
Not much. I think you might get a little rebound again in the conventional markets, but I think come January we're going lower. There was just a recent guidance study out that revealed that the companies giving guidance, almost 90% of them, are now saying they're going to have difficulty with their profit margins on this quarter. So only 1 out of 10 is saying it looks better. And we're getting to the point where earnings just have not been growing much for a year. And I think we're topping out here. And come January, I think we might have a little problem in the conventional markets.
Well, I got to tell you, we may have a little problem in the conventional markets. I personally think that we will, but I want to say one thing, and that is, you know, I read as much as I can, as our listeners are aware, and I listen to as many people as I can possibly get to, and more people within the conventional sector, I think, are stating that the U.S. is out of the woods economically. I don't think they're stating, and I know they are. The U.S. is out of the woods economically. The economy is strong enough now that it's time to begin some fairly serious tapering. Now, having said that, Corey and I talked with Gary about that earlier in the week, at length, actually. And Gary gives some very, very, let me say that Gary summarizes some very, very logical reasons that QE simply cannot come to an end. And we're going to chat about this in the next segment because we want to get input from Doc and Rick on that. But I got to tell you, it's a very, very compelling argument, and all you have to do to understand it is to look at a chart of the S&P going back to 1980. Stick around, we're going to elaborate on this.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figured I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter
matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388, or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because it continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing our discussion about the economy in the United States, definitely on a macro level. Corey and I are chatting with our friends, the Three Musketeers, being Rick Ackerman, Gary Savage, and certainly Richard Postma. Gary, now I want to interject the subject that you and I and Corey talked about earlier in the week. If anybody looks at a stock chart using the S&P as the guide of the conventional stock market, they will note that from 80 until about 2000, until a little after 2000, we were in a very definite bull market. I mean, the market went from basically a very low level to, you know, damn near 1,600 points, 1,500 and some odd points there. And that was driven by something called more industry in the United States, correct?
A new industry. The personal computer and the internet.
Okay, and that basically caused the stock market to plummet when the tech bubble burst, okay? And we went through a period of time between roughly 2000 and 2000, let's say half of 2002, where the stock market was very, very definitely bearish, okay? And then we turned up again. Okay, and we turned up until about 2008 because the economy was driven by the housing bubble. Okay, now that obviously has, among other things, the effect of increasing employment with housing construction, etc., etc. And then the housing bubble burst. Okay, real estate then became, you know, evolved into no longer the darling of the United States, and the stock market absolutely plummeted. Okay, as measured by the S&P. Okay, then in 2009, roughly,
The stock market again went into a major bull phase, which some would say we're still in right now, but it was based on nothing other than government's actions, specifically printing money. Nothing was being done to, what I would have to say, make the economy stronger in terms of producing more goods and services, creating more employment, etc., etc. That, I think, sums up very, very succinctly why, at this moment in time, quantitative easing is an impossibility. Gary, why don't you elaborate a little bit for us?
I would agree.
You're the guy who said it.
We cannot get a secular bull market in stocks until we have a new industry to drive it. Like you mentioned, we had two new industries, the personal computer and the Internet. That's what drove that bull market from 1980 to 2000. Those matured, the bubbles popped, and we've entered a long, sustained, secular bear market. We kind of put it on hold by creating a housing bubble, and that brought back some of the jobs that were lost when the tech bubble burst. But as bubbles always do, you know, it's a phony economy. The bubble burst, you know, everything collapsed again. We lost those jobs. And this is the reason why we're not getting any jobs, is you cannot create jobs by just printing money. We need a new industry to drive a new secular bull market, and we don't have that new industry yet. So we're going to continue on this roller coaster ride until, you know, we do a couple of things. We have to change course. We have to stop printing money. And then we need a new industry to come, you know, to come online to drive real productivity, and that will create, you know, the 30, 40, 50 million jobs that have been lost over the last 13 years.
Gary, when we started talking about this earlier in the week and we went through all the charts, I actually spent a fair bit of time on it. I found it fascinating, and it really does make sense to have a bull market and to get these new investors into the market, there should be, or historically there needs to be, a new industry or something innovative that changes kind of the direction that we are going in. Right now, that hasn't happened. All it is printing of money. And as you mentioned, we're not creating jobs. We're not moving forward with what technically would be strengthening the economy. So, Rick, I want to get your input on what you think of this whole we don't have another industry, but I also want your input on my question of, we always have collapses after these bubbles, but since this bubble is built on nothing, or just built on fake money printing, do you think this collapse will be far more severe than the other ones?
Well, there's a dozen good reasons why we were in much better shape in 1929 when the market crashed and we went into the Great Depression. You know, we had sound money. About 30% of the working population was connected to agriculture in some way. We were literally living off the land. People were more resourceful. The specialization of jobs was not so Byzantine at the time. So, yes, I think it'll be worse when the system finally buckles. But even perma bears like me need to pay attention to some positive things that are going on. There are two economically important changes that have occurred. Neither one of them was planned. One of them is negative in a way. The other is completely positive. And I'm talking about, number one, the gusher of energy that we've hit through fracking and other extraction techniques. And we've got a lot of fuel. So much so that some of the bigger companies are attempting to get curbs lifted for exporting gasoline and other types of fuel. So it's cheapened the cost of manufacturing for sure. The problem there is that the manufacturing, to the extent that new plants are being built, is so efficient that they don't hire nearly the same number of employees. So we can have a successful and growing manufacturing sector, at least successful in the way that we appeal to shareholders, but not successful in the way that we're going to create a lot of new jobs. And, of course, the other factor that is occurring now, inadvertently, this wasn't intended, but the cost of labor has decreased. U.S. wages are becoming more competitive with wages in China, for one, China's had a lot of wage pressure. We've had pressure going the other way, and the two obviously are far from meeting, but the, let's say, the competitive gap is closed somewhat. And when you factor in that things that are manufactured here don't have to be shipped here to be sold, we are China's biggest market, it gives us an edge that we didn't have before. So those are economically very significant changes, and we shouldn't think that just because we've got a jobless recovery now that there's nothing going on economically speaking.
Well, I want you to elaborate a little bit. I want to turn this over to Doc in a second, but when you say we have a jobless recovery going on right now, that's kind of an oxymoron, Rick.
Well, it's just that when they talk about 7% unemployment, I'll go with John Williams' numbers, which are about three times as high. You know, he puts unemployment somewhere above 20%, but certainly I don't see any significance to 7%. At best, many of those workers are underemployed, and of course many of the jobs that have been created are what we refer to as NIC jobs. You know, they're not jobs in engineering and some basic areas where the talent makes the economy grow.
Well, I have to agree with that. I mean, it's a known fact that ever since former President Bill Clinton changed the way that we calculate unemployment, you know, you get some very different numbers than we had prior to his time, and the numbers are even worse now, as we stayed on this program so many times, in the sense that the universe of people looking for jobs isn't even factored in. I mean, the fact that that universe has diminished substantially, a lot of people don't understand that. So I have to agree. I mean, I'm not a real gloom and doomer, but when you come to things like the way unemployment is calculated today, I mean, of course, John is 100% right, but the government's 100% right also. But the fact of the matter is, the equation has the methodology, I should say, has very definitely changed. You know, on this program, we're trying to tell people what we're doing to protect ourselves from a very, very dangerous situation, and that's what I want to get into in the next hour here, or in the next segment, I guess I should say. I want to talk about what we're doing to protect ourselves. Stick around, you guys.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $34.95 and makes a great Christmas gift. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Okay, and welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. Corey and I, as you know, are chatting with Doc, a.k.a. Richard Postma. We're chatting with Gary Savage, and we're certainly chatting with Rick Ackerman. You know, we're talking about the strength of the stock market. Is it based on reality? We're talking about can the government, in fact, start to taper? And the general consensus here among our panel is that it's pretty negative. Well, that negativity, quite frankly, is also shared to an extent by the Nobel-winning Yale economist Robert Shiller. You know, he brings out the fact that Standard & Poor's 500 has jumped 167% from 2009, but it's low in 2009 to where it is today, with, you know, giving a total return to investors of 27.4% so far this year. But he's saying, hey, man, this has, quote, it has bubble elements to it, because people see the market going up and they're regretting the fact that they didn't buy in several years ago. They are tempted back into it. I think that personally is a huge, huge mistake given macroeconomic fundamentals right now. Gary, let's start with you, bud.
I would agree. It's too late in this bull market. This is 5 years old. That's, you know, right in line with the three longest bull markets in history. It's definitely too late to be buying the stock market, and it's probably too late in this intermediate cycle. We've got a potential little double top here that's probably going to be a top for the intermediate cycle, and it may end up being the top of this cyclical bull market.
Gary, I agree with you that I don't think it is a good time to put a lot of money into the conventional markets right now. I just think that they're overinflated, obviously. But one thing that we keep on talking about is that the money that the Fed is printing, they're not getting the same return on it. It's not worth as much as when they started this QE program. So now, to keep this bubble inflated, I think they need to keep on printing more. But at the same time, they're talking about pulling some off the table. It all kind of ties into the velocity of money that we chatted about last segment. Doc, what's your comments on some of this, what the Fed's doing, and where the money is going?
Well, number one, the money is going to the banks, and the banks are driving this market along with corporations that are buying back their stock. And most of the reserves that the banks have are sitting on the Fed's balance sheet, and they get a little interest out of that. But they can't lend it out. And I think this market, I wouldn't touch it at all. If anything, I've been shorting it the last 2 weeks. And I think January is going to be an interesting month for us because of what we mentioned before, their profit margins as far as guidance of a lot of these companies. And earnings have hardly grown over the last year. So the only thing elevating it right now is the printing of money. And there's nothing on the horizon that I can see where the economy is going to pick up. The one thing, though, I think is what's going to be another problematic area next year could be very well the dollar. I think the dollar is looking really slippery here. We could go down to 79, 78 and bump back up. But that might be the thing that eventually goes, because once the economy is sensed by others as being totally weak, and if we get a sell-off, I think the dollar goes.
Okay, now we don't give specific investment advice on this program, and that's very appropriate for us not to do that. But we've got, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes left here to wrap up the show. I'm personally very content with where I'm at, but there's a certain amount of fear that I deal with every day because I'm not really sure how bad this whole thing can get. Starting with you, Gary, what should people like me, in your opinion, or what are you doing to alleviate any fears that you have about what we think is a rather grim reality in the future?
Well, I think we're on the verge of starting a second stage inflation, where the inflation that has been going into the financial markets, stock market, bond market, echo bubble in real estate, I think those areas have gotten to the point where they're overvalued enough to where they're probably not going to go up anymore. And that inflation is going to start to leak into the commodity markets, similar to what happened in 2007 and 2008. So in my opinion, I think you want to start positioning at least part of your portfolio into resource stocks, commodity, you know, individual commodities, commodity index. I prefer gold myself because it's gotten beat up more than anything else. So that's where I would be. But, you know, first off, I want to make sure this bear market's over.
Rick, I know you like trading a little bit more short term, but I think the question that I want to ask is a bit more longer term. If you were to put some money away somewhere and maybe look at it 6 months down the road or a year down the road, where would you put your money?
I'd be very defensive here. You know, not more shifting money into corporate bonds. It's not like they haven't been pretty well picked over, but I still think their values, if you look at companies that are going to be doing business no matter what the economy does, IBM would be a good example. The corporate bonds and perhaps some stock would be one place to go. I'm still not persuaded by the inflation argument, so I could see some yield plays like Treasury strips for one, and I know that's not a very popular way to go right now. It's somewhat contrarian, but I don't think that the Fed is going to lose control of interest rates. I think we're in a deflationary environment, and the wringing out process, especially when the U.S. economy takes a dive, is going to be bullish for bond prices. So I'm about as defensive as you could get, really, and I'm not looking to make money here with my nest egg, but more to preserve what I've got.
Dr. Postma, what's your opinion on this?
Well, I'm in cash, and quite a bit in cash, and I'm starting to nibble at some of the precious metal stocks. Some of the charts are looking good, some aren't, and I think some of them have a little bit further to fall, but there's a couple that actually have been moving up a little bit. I'm of the view that eventually the dollar has real difficulty, and I think we might see that transition start sometime in next year. So I will, when I see that, I will start to position myself in commodities. If I don't see it, I won't position myself.
Doc, I'm of the same view with the dollar going down. And personally, what I've been doing is I hold some positions that I'm still comfortable with in junior companies, and I'm really looking at mid-tier companies. The majors that I've held, I've kind of switched my money around and put it into comparable majors just to be able to carry that tax loss forward. And some of the mid-tier companies, I just think they have fairly strong cash balances. They have good current projects, and we've seen a little bit of M&A activity, something that we talked about with Jim or Alex Letourneau last segment, that I foresee those being having some room to go. Al, what are you doing?
I'm getting more and more excited, quite frankly, you guys, about what's going on in the junior resource sector. I'm about ready to take a position in another company, one that I had a position in before. The stock absolutely collapsed, and I'm strongly considering right now, my wife and I are strongly considering getting back into that one, among some others. I certainly am not selling any of my junior resource stocks. Now, why am I doing this? What's my rationale? Well, purely and simply, as many of our listeners, contributors to our blog, and I respect each and every one of them, have said, they think that with the undervalued nature of the junior resource market, it's going to absolutely explode. You know, I remember back in 2008 and 2009, when the resource market was absolutely devastated and people were just singing the blues, you know, better than any blues band I've ever heard. Well, I basically came to the opinion that this too shall pass. In 2010 came around, and in 2010 we actually paid taxes to a higher level than we've ever paid before because of the profits that we realized in a very, very significant bull market that occurred in 2010. Is that going to happen again this time? I mean, God only knows. But I have to say, in my mind, the fundamentals are there. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen out there listening, Corey and I hope that you have enjoyed this week's show.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.